وبه نستعين على أمور الدنيا والدين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه واقتفى أثره واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. ثم أما بعد، حياكم الله جميعا وبياكم وجعل الجنة مثوانا ومثواكم. سي آمين، سي آمين. Don't worry, it was just a dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us all paradise. So there was nothing dodgy. طيب. فاسي السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. That was better, mashallah. طيب. On behalf of the Greenland Masjid management and staff, I would like to welcome you all to this panel discussion that, as announced, is entitled The Serene Home under the series The Ideal Muslim Home. And as you can see with me on this panel, I have Sheikh Mustafa Abu Rayyan, who, as we say in Arabic, Ghaniyun Ani Tarif, is well known and is in no need of introduction. And also with me here on my left, I have our Sheikh Hafidhullah Khan. For those of you who don't know, our Sheikh has played a major role in this masjid throughout the years. Jazallah khair. From answering questions through the Imam Q&A service, mediating, arbitrating, lectures and classes, etc. Jazallah khair. Just to give an example, he recently completed his very famous legendary tafsir class. In Urdu, very famous, legendary class, mashallah, tabarakallah. And this is me saying, I don't even speak Urdu. طيب. And he recently completed it, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in his mizan of hasanat. طيب. So we'll make a start, inshallah. I have a few questions with me. And inshallah ta'ala, if we have some time, we will open up the floor for some questions, inshallah ta'ala. And so without further ado, I will begin with our Sheikh Hafidhullah, with the very first question. What general advice would you give to couples to keep their marriage strong and loving?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillah, the topic that you chose, mashallah, is very, very important topic, how we can build an ideal Muslim home in this age, in this time. As, mashallah, brother asked me about what's the advice that I can give. The brothers and sisters, the most important thing is that if we want to save our marriage, if we want to make our home a Muslim ideal home, so the main thing is that we have to be attached with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made us Muslims. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By this, we can get the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by this, alhamdulillah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made the love and mercy between husband and wife. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to try our best as a husband and a wife to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first of all. And the second thing is that as a human being, yes, mashallah, everyone has lots of good qualities. And as well as we have some errors, some weaknesses in us. So in this situation, we have to be aware of some kind of things that which make our family broken. So one of them, the main thing is that just I am just focusing on the husband and wife, how they can make their marriage a happy marriage, a happy life. So one of the main thing is that I said to you that they need to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. They need to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second thing is they don't have to make themselves followers of the shaitan. Because the husband and wife, these are the main target of the shaitan always. And there's a shaitan which spread mischief between husband and wife. It is very beloved act for him to spread mischief, to separate them. The thing that it separates them, one of the main thing is that the trust. You know, the trust is the basic thing to save the marriage and to make the bond of nikah and marriage stronger and stronger. So if the husband or the wife, if they lose the trust between them, then it is very hard to regain the trust. And one or two, you can say, the main thing which makes that we lose the trust because of it is lying and cheating. It's from husband or from wife, lying and cheating. Married life is not based on lying, brothers and sisters. It will, subhanAllah, they know any day, any time. So, because if the lying is there, then they lose their trust of each other. Instead of lying and cheating, they have to base their married life on truthfulness. They have to base their married life always, always on truthfulness. Then they can save their married life and they can have an atmosphere of peace and happy in their homes. And the second thing is that these very small, tiny things we think that it becomes so big issues. Like, subhanAllah, as I mentioned, that everyone has some errors and some mistakes they do. So if the husband or wife, if they start criticizing constantly, criticizing on each other, on each other's job, and they start mocking each other, taunting. So the brothers and sisters, these things weaks and this thing makes their life, subhanAllah, you can see that it's not a good thing that this thing makes their life in their marriage life so weak. So taunting and constantly criticizing, it's not good for the marriage life. And as well as respecting each other, it's very, very important. Giving respect to wife, giving respect to husband, dealing in a respectful manner. It's very important. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that khayrukum khayrukum li ahlihi wa ana khayrukum li ahli. The best among you who is best with his wife, with his family. So that's the thing that we need to make our home a Islamic home, a Muslim home. The last thing that I'm saying to inshallah, huh? So as well as all, from all these things, and the last thing that we have to try our best to focus on each other's good qualities, always. Not to focus on each other's weaknesses. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. Marriage life is not based on hatred. It's based on compassion and mercy and love. So try to focus on each other's good qualities. So inshallah, it will be help to create a ideal Muslim home, inshallah.
Barakallahu fiqh, Sheikh. You have anything to add on to that, Sheikh? Jazakallah khair. Type next question to you, Sheikh Mustafa. From an Islamic perspective, what are the primary responsibilities and roles of the husband and wife within the marriage?
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. First again, I want to thank Sheikh Hafidhullah for those very wise and beneficial words. And Akhuna Samir, of course, for always facilitating. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them both. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of us as we are sitting here in one of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As it relates to the question, what are the primary responsibilities upon a husband and a wife? So before I talk about those responsibilities and rights, it's important to understand, like Sheikh Hafidhullah mentioned, the bedrock and the foundation of a healthy marriage is not necessarily a focus on the rights and the responsibilities, but rather an abundance of mercy and love. When there is love and mercy in the home, there is not a lot of hyper-focus on the rights and the obligations, because the home is filled with love and mercy, so the person will go beyond their obligations. The person will go beyond what is required of them. They will do even more. So the asal is, and this is why, when the ulama mentioned, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was speaking about the husband and the wife and their relationship, Allah in Surah Ar-Rum, Allah mentions that it is for tranquility. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah has placed between them a love and mercy. The rights and responsibilities were not mentioned, because if there is enough love, if there's enough mercy, if there's tranquility in the home, then no one will transgress upon the other. However, those rights and responsibilities have been established, and it's important that you know what they are. Let me quickly, inshallah ta'ala, go through them. What are the responsibilities of a husband as it relates to the deen and the sharia? The first thing is to understand that the husband has financial responsibilities as well as non-financial responsibilities. The financial ones are generally summarized as follows. He has to give his wife a dowry that happens early in the marriage, right? This is the first haqq that she has, the mehr, the sadaq, the dowry. On top of that, al-infaq, spending on her, meaning what? Taking care of her financial needs, as well as accommodation. Those three things are the responsibility of the husband to provide and continue to provide as long as they are together, where she's staying, her expenses, of course, the necessary expenses, right? Not the luxurious ones. The expenses, and then, of course, the dowry that comes before that. Those are the financial responsibilities. And there are some non-financial responsibilities, such as living with her in fairness and kindness and justice, and being the best to her as possible, like Allah says in the Quran, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, right? So it is a responsibility upon the husband that he conducts himself in the best possible way with his wife. The best possible character, the best possible akhlaq, the best possible statements. And finally, it is also a responsibility upon him to fulfill the whole purpose of marriage, and to be able to find that physical intimacy with each other. It is a responsibility of the husband and a right of the wife. That summarizes the basic things every husband should be fulfilling. The financial responsibility, living with her in kindness and justice, and fulfilling the purpose of marriage that is the reason why two people come together to begin with. Then you have the wife. A lot of these will mirror each other, but the wife has no financial responsibilities in the marriage. And that's important to understand. She has no financial obligation in the marriage, right? Anything that she spends on her home, on her children, on her husband, for her would be sadaqah. It would be an act of charity, and it is encouraged to do so if she can. But she has no financial responsibilities. However, it is her responsibility to follow, respect, and obey her husband. That is number one. That she follows, respects, and obeys her husband, and perhaps we can expand upon that later on. It is also important and an obligation upon her that she makes herself available for her husband as it relates to the physical intimacy. This is another obligation upon her, and it is heavily emphasized in the Sunnah, And finally, it is also an obligation upon her that she lives with her husband in the best way possible, using the kindest words possible, the best akhlaq possible, just like it was wajib upon the husband. If you have those basic things in place, then you decorate that with even better akhlaq, with mercy and with love, and you have the foundations of what can be considered, inshallah ta'ala, a blessed and proper marriage. I hope that kind of summarizes it, inshallah.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. Just a little addition to that, Sheikh Mustafa, if you don't mind. Yeah. You mentioned in terms of showing respect from the husband's perspective, you know, having that level of respect and akhlaq, and Sheikh touched on this as well earlier. You have a common trait where some brothers, for example, when they're out with their friends, with brothers in the masjid, they say, mashallah, and smiles, and mashallah, tabarakallah. But as soon as they walk into the house, it's a completely different face. That is not there anymore.
SubhanAllah. This is very sad. And if this is the case, then brothers, we need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this regard. The most deserving person of your kindness is your wife. The most deserving person of your smile is your wife. The most deserving person of your good conduct and character. And if you're in a state where you find the best version of yourself outside of the home and the worst version of yourself inside the home, then you need to start looking in the mirror and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you will be held accountable. It is from her right and from min haqqiha that she finds within you the tranquility, the mercy, and the love that was mentioned in the Quran. So it is important also to understand, some people say, Shaykh, Ustad, Imam, this is just because of many problems in the home. It's not, you know, it is what it is. Some of the problems are coming from her side, you know. But there is something you have to appreciate and understand here. Who are you responsible for, first and foremost? Yourself. Yourself. Whose action can you 100% control? Yourself. This is why it's important, and there's a principle that we have in our deen, that when it comes to right and responsibilities, this is mentioned when we're talking about a sha'ab, a community, and their ruler. It is mentioned a child and their parents. It's mentioned between couples. It could be a worker and his employee. If you have obligations upon you, is to fulfill those obligations, regardless of whether that is being reciprocated or not. So, meaning what? Even if you feel that you're not receiving the best welcome in the house, it doesn't excuse you coming in frowning. It doesn't excuse you coming in angry. It doesn't excuse you coming in and having that type of behavior. Do your obligation, right? And also do not let the shaitan interfere with your home. Brothers and sisters, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, think about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sunnah and his seerah and how he was with his wives. He was very gentle with everyone, the most gentle to his wives. He was very kind to everyone, the most kind to his wives. And we see this from the sunnah. Emulate the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the moment you do that, you will find a lot of khair in your home, inshallah ta'ala.
Barakallah fiqh, Sheikh. Back to our Sheikh Hafidullah, you mentioned earlier that some of the issues that exist or come up between couples is the lack of trust, lying, etc. In your experience, Sheikh, other than those, what are the common issues that you find need mediation between these couples, and how can they address these problems?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. MashaAllah, Sheikh Mustafa, what he explained to us, inshallah, is very beneficial. Just one point I'll add, that in Arabic, they say that when the husbands, they comes to our house, the wives, they say always, they leave three things at the doorstep. One is their coat, and the second is shoes, and the third thing is their akhlaq. So that we try not to be among them, inshallah. Huh? Inshallah. Yes, it's not a big achievement that we show our akhlaq to our friends, to our clients, to outside people. The big achievement is that we have to show our akhlaq towards our wives, inshallah. Huh? Anyhow, as you ask that the main issues that comes out, in our experience that The first thing is, unfortunately, we receive at least 2 or 3 divorce applications every week. So that's the main thing, subhanAllah, unfortunately. And there are lots of reasons, but one of the main reason is that lack of understanding between each other. Lack of understanding. And why? Because there was no equality between them in education, in jobs, in other things as well, in their culture, in everything. So that's why the lack of any understanding, that's the main thing. And as well as, subhanAllah, domestic violence. And the third thing is the families, the in-laws, their interruption between their lives in a negative manners. In a negative manner. This happened. It's the reality that it's happened between the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. There are some issues. So that's why that the main thing is that lack of understanding. Inshallah.
Barakallahu feek, Sheikh. Sheikh Mustafa, if you want to touch upon some of those points, for example, also maybe add on to how can we deal with these issues between these couples?
SubhanAllah. As you heard, brothers and sisters, that we have a lot of people coming and coming to the shuyukh, coming to the judiciary board, trying to file for a divorce. And the problem is, if you see them at that stage, this is when it's too late to remedy. It's too late to solve. It is important that you're constantly checking your relationship and your marriage and trying to address the issues early on. Because what happens is, to a lot of people, they will grow their resentment and their anger. There is some right that is not being fulfilled. The husband might have a certain type of character, akhlaq. It may be that there is some value problem where you guys don't disagree on fundamental aspects of your lives, of your deen, or whatever the case may be. There's several issues. And what happens is, this will fester, and it is not addressed through proper mediation. And this will cause, and in fact, the only way it's addressed is through argumentation and anger. That's it. So you'll have a whole year of argumentation and anger, and then another year. And before you know it, remember earlier we were talking about that the foundation of the marriage was rahmah and mercy. That's out of the window now. And now the wife is at a stage where she had it and she wants out. The husband is at a stage where he can't handle it and he can't take it anymore. This could have all been resolved if initially we were able to address these issues in the proper way. And what does that look like? First of all, it is important to understand that your spouse, like Sheikh Hafidhullah mentioned, you will not have a perfect spouse. So there will be shortcomings. Accept that from the beginning. Then live with those shortcomings and try to remedy them slowly with rahmah, with mercy, and with the good akhlaq. Often, people are not upset about what you're saying, but how you're saying it. Often, it is the tone that ruins it. Often, through the shouting and the yelling, we cannot hear each other. Hence why the sunnah is to seek for mediation at a stage where there is still possibility of reconciliation. Not mediation at the stage, because if you go to the sheikh, to the imam, to the qadi, and khalas, what's the issue? Sheikh, don't worry about the issue, we just want divorce. Don't worry about the issue, we just want divorce. Why are you here then? Is that the job of the judiciary, like the sheikh mentioned, the dalaq councils, that's it? Make sure that you're able to go for mediation and counseling and support early on, while it is still possible, number one. Number two, have a lot of sabr. understand that the grass is not always greener than the other side. Number three, if you don't fear Allah in your marriage, wallahi, your marriage will not last. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a statement that the Sheikh mentioned earlier. Wallahi, I cringed when I heard it. Domestic violence. Ikhwan, what are we? What are we? What kind of human beings are we? When we have to resolve to harming each other. The person that is meant to be the closest to you, Allah called them libas. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. You are close to each other. Right now, the clothes I'm wearing are closer to me than anything else here. It's one of it has so many benefits. The clothes that you're wearing, they are closer to you than anything else. That's how the relationship is meant to be. The clothes you're wearing beautify you. That's how the relationship is meant to be. The clothes you are wearing keep you comfortable and warm. That's how the relationship is meant to be. The clothes that you wear them, they add value to you as you're wearing them. That's how a marriage should be. So fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this regard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our marriages and our homes.
Ameen. Barakallahu feek. Jazakallah khair. We're back with you again, Sheikh Mustafa. Is it advisable for the wife to work and contribute to the household income? And what factors should a couple consider when deciding on this dual income?
I think it's important to first, like I mentioned earlier, understand that the wife does not have any financial obligations, meaning she doesn't have to work. And also, it is important that the wife does not look at herself as an individual, but as part of a home, a household. So the decisions that you make, you look at how does it impact the rest of the home. So if you working adds value and khayr to the home, fabiha wa ni'mat, that's great. If it detracts from the home, then perhaps you shouldn't do it. Because what is the point of doing something that is recommended if it's going to cause harm? What are some harm that it can potentially cause? If you're gone for most of the day and very tired when you come home, can you properly help in raising your children? Can you properly fulfill the rights of your husband, the rights that you need to fulfill? If that's going to create a burden and a struggle, whereby you will need the support of your husband more, and this may cause certain tensions, all of that for a few extra pounds, this is not advisable. However, if you working is going to add value, you're in a particular situation where maybe your husband's income is not enough, or the cost of living is very high and that support is needed, and you assess that situation, again, not as an individual, but as a unit, and you decide, no, I should work. And again, any khair that you do, as long as it is halal, as long as it's appropriate, as long as it's beneficial, Allah will reward you for any sadaqah that you spend on your family. So the first thing is that a lot of common sense has to be used. Secondly, a lot of shura has to be done, and it should be done for the benefit of the home. If staying home is more beneficial for your home, and it often is, then sisters, stay home and raise the children and support your husband in that way. If you having a job is going to benefit the family, then after shura, there is no harm in it. But if we have to be sensible when we do these things and look at our individual circumstances. I never advise sisters to go and work just for their career. This is very narrow-minded. This is a way of looking at yourself. My beloved sister, you are a wife and a mother, or you're a wife and you soon may become a mother. Look at yourself from then onwards as a wife and a mother, not as a career woman. Again, am I saying there's something wrong with pursuing a career? No, but it shouldn't contradict. It shouldn't harm. It shouldn't damage what you have built. Your home is your priority. And the same advice goes for the brothers, that when you are looking, when you are making shura with your spouse on these issues, be very sensible and look at the situation. If genuinely it adds khair and there is some need, some haja for your wife to work, and it is a job that is halal and is appropriate, then maybe you should accommodate this where it is possible and not be very strict on the issue. If it what? What's the shart? If it brings benefit, that's what you look at always. Is what I am doing benefiting my home or harming my home? And it's important that we look at each other as units, as a couple, as a home, not as individuals, as this is not the point of marriage. I think after this, inshallah ta'ala, it's just going to be about shura and looking at the masalih and the mafasid, and Allah knows best.
Barakallahu fiqh, Sheikh. Back to yourself, Sheikh Hafidhullah. If a couple find themselves, you know, constantly butting heads, constantly arguing, and having trouble getting along, what's your advice? You know, what should they do as a couple?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Subhanallah. Ongoing arguments at home. So you can imagine the atmosphere of that house. Imagine the children, how they think, how they live there. So if there anything like this in any home, the first harmful thing that they lose is their children. They are losing their children, I'm saying to you. If the couple, they always arguing with each other, they have lots of issues between each other, it means that they are trying their best to lose their children. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, as Sheikh Mustafa was saying, mashallah, that one of the main responsibility of the husband and wife as a mother and father is not only to protect themselves from the hellfire, qu anfusakum, as Allah says, but it is their responsibility, wa ahlikum nara, that there is your responsibility when you married. So always remember that you are going to be a responsible person. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you children, it is your responsibility to make them among the Ahlul Jannah, not among the Ahlul Nar. And you can do that. وَأَهْلِكُمْ nara. So you have to try your best to free them or to save them from the hellfire by making yourself a good role model. If you make yourself a bad role model, so if they go wrong, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you. There is a report, I think, that the children who they vandalize on the roads, other things. Huh? So there is a report that 70% of them are from single parents. 70% of them single parents. And we all know that single parents, they can't upbring their children properly. They cannot do that. So first thing, always when they have any kind of issue, argument, they have to think about their children first. And the second thing is, always try to remember that what's going on, it's from shaitan. It's from shaitan. Once Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the two people, they are arguing each other and they're screaming on each other. So the Prophet said that there is one kalima, if they know, then the argument will end, inshallah, would end. And that kalima is A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Because all these arguments, especially between husband and wife, is from shaitan. So you have to seek refuge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the shaitan. And the second thing is, on the time of argument, husband or wife, they try the best to control their anger. It's everything, especially the divorce happened in extreme anger. And by what, how they can control their anger? If you are standing, try to sit down according to the hadith. And if you are sitting, try to lay down. And still you feel some anger, try to drink the water. Because anger from the shaitan. Anger from the shaitan. And as well as try to change your place from one room to the other room. You can say to your wife, to your husband, that okay, inshallah, we'll discuss this matter tomorrow, inshallah. So they can think about it. And then inshallah, they will change their mind. And the third thing is, all we have to remember, brothers, that it is not possible, it is not necessary that we try to prove ourselves always right in our arguments. It is not necessary. To end the argument, what we have to do is try to give up. Even if you are on right side, if you are right, try to give up. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith from Abu Dawood that I assure a house in the paradise for the person who give up just to well-being in the marriage, even though he was the right person. So sometimes even we are right, but we have to give up. We have to leave that. So mashallah, you can see that your spouse will inshallah change himself or herself inshallah. That's the thing that we have to do inshallah.
Barakallahu feek. Sheikh Mustafa, if you have anything to add to that? I mean, just one point inshallah to add here, since we have a Shafi'i representative, mashallah, tabarakallah. I believe there's a statement from Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah where he said that whenever he argued with somebody, he would hope that the haqq came from him.
Yes, no, absolutely. This is a very important principle as it relates to when you are having a discussion or an argument or a debate, that first of all, kama kana yaqul al-Imam al-Shafi'i, like Imam al-Shafi'i used to say, I am correct, but I could be wrong. You are wrong, but you could be correct. Why would he say this? Because he was confident in his view, but he allowed room for doubt. He was confident in his views. No, I am right, in whether it was a fiqh religious view, and you can use it for any other thing in the world. You have an argument, you think you're right, we should do it this way, we should do it that way. But he would allow some room for doubt. I am upon the haqq, وَكَلَامِ يَحْتَمِلْ أَنْ يَكُونَ بَاطِلًا. You are wrong, وَقَدْ يَحْتَمِلْ أَنْ يَكُونَ حَقًا. It's possible. This allows you to be able to reconsider and also look at the person's points with fairness and justice. You're not trying to win. You're trying to establish the truth. You're trying to establish the haqq. You're trying to find the best solution. It's not about you. It's not about your ego. And on top of that, among the things that we have benefited from this great imam is also that he said, I have never debated someone except I truly wished that the truth was established through their tongue. Again, meaning it was not about Shafi'i. It was not about Muhammad Idris himself. It was about the truth. And similarly, as a husband, it should not be me, I want to be right. As a wife, it shouldn't be me, I want to be right. But rather, the best solution, the best point, the best option should be taken. And if you have that mindset, it truly will transform the way you have discussions. You will take a minute, you will pause, you will reconsider what you said. You will listen, you will actually listen to what they're trying to say. It really transformed the way you have discussions. So it's a very important point. Jazakallahu khairan.
Thank you, Sheikh. Still with you, Sheikh Mustafa. How should the sisters, and this is maybe more related to them now, how should they understand the concept of obedience? You touched upon this earlier. How should they understand this concept of obedience in the light of the Sharia?
This concept sometimes causes some of our sisters to pause. Who is he for me to listen to him or to obey him? And it causes them some problems. And look, my sisters, first, before you are a wife, before you are a daughter, you are a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is your first priority, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like your husband, before he is a husband, before he is anything, he is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meant to worship Allah. Meaning what? Whatever form, shape that takes, worshiping Allah, you will do it. And that's really important to understand. Secondly, anything that our Sharia commands us, there is khair in it for us, even if we sometimes don't fully grasp or understand it. We trust our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created us to give us the best possible commandments. And when we fulfill them, only khair will come out of it. Now, is there a concept of da'a that is an obligation upon the woman regarding her husband? Yes, there is. How should we understand it? Number one, when we say obey, you do not obey anyone, including your husband, or your father, or your mother, anyone and anything that disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anything that goes against the deen, you don't obey anyone in that. That's the principle that you have in our deen. Similarly, you do not obey anyone in anything that causes you harm. If it's going to truly be harmful to you, then you do not obey no father, no mother, no husband, no one. Because of course, we're not allowed to harm ourselves or cause ourselves. لا ضرر ولا ضرار. After you have established those two things, then what is the point of da'a? Understand that the home is an institution, the marriage is an institution, and any solid institution that is functioning functions as a hierarchy. Meaning what? Just like when you go to work, when you go anywhere that you work, there is someone that is at a certain level. You have maybe a junior staff member, and then you have a more senior staff member, and then maybe you have a supervisor, you have a manager, and it goes like that. Each one has someone that they escalate certain things to, but the function of a normal, healthy working place is not only based on commands. Yalla, do this, yalla, do that. Most of the time is what? We're thinking about doing this. What do you guys think? There's a level of shura and consultation involved. A marriage is like that as well. The asal is that there is consultation, there's shura, there's discussion. And also another thing, just because at work you have a supervisor or a manager, does that mean they're better than you? It doesn't mean, so there's a lot of this concept. Does that mean they're better than you? That they are close to Allah than you? No. It means that in that work setting, there's a level of hierarchy in place to ensure it functions properly. And the home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the role of leadership to the husband. And there's another thing that we have to understand, my sisters and my brothers. Leadership in Islam is not just a privilege. It's not just a privilege. It's a burden. It's a burden. And because it is a burden, it comes with a certain level of weight and responsibility. And it's not something you should wish for. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, لا تسأل عن الإمارة. Do not ask for leadership. Do not ask for to be a ruler or a mayor. Do not campaign for it. Why would he say that? Isn't that a prestigious thing? It's a burden. Allah will ask you about it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the home and the household about the husband. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kullukum ra', each one of you is a shepherd. Who is the shepherd of the household and will be asked about on the judgment? The husband. And because it is his burden, that comes with certain level of leadership. This burden comes with a certain level of leadership. And that leadership, it comes with a responsibility. And part of that is, yes, that the people that they are a leader for, they understand that it's a hierarchy and sometimes they need to be listened to. Does that mean that it is a jump how high type of situation? No, it's not. It is not. But yes, my sisters, you will get closer to Allah if you listen to your husband. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves for you to listen to your husband, right? And it is better for the home and the household when the husband feels respected. And also, of course, it is the husband's responsibility to guide the home to Jannah. قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا is a command to the men. قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. The sisters, they come under that as well. But as a husband, you are responsible for your wife and your children. And the قَوَامَة, this is for the brothers. The qawama, the responsibility, is not just to maintain their eating and drinking and dunya responsibilities. You also have a responsibility for their deen as well. So keeping an eye out and looking for, is there enough deen in my home? Is there enough tarbiyah in my home? Is there enough Quran and khair happening in my home? This is a responsibility and a burden on the husband. And the wife shares in that responsibility. But the primary burden is upon the husband. So it's not that a lot of khair has been taken away from the sisters. It is just how Allah set up the home. And Allah knows best. Allah knows best. Barakallahu feekum.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Mustafa. Back to our Sheikh, Sheikh Hafidullah. When it comes to a household that are going through issues and struggles to stay together, when would it be appropriate then to, or at what stage would it be appropriate or okay to consider divorce or khula?
Yes, I think you're asking that when they start thinking about the divorce. SubhanAllah. Unfortunately, whenever divorce happens, they don't think about it. Without any thinking, SubhanAllah, the first thing. Because most of the divorce happen in extreme anger. They don't think about it. They don't think the consequences of the divorce. They think that the divorce is the solution for their problems, where that it creates lots of problems as well. So anyhow, that they have to think when they try their best to resolve their problems, they change themselves, they just make new agreements between husband and wife, they involve their families, they involve the imam, everything. But still, the problem's still there.
Just continuing on from that, Sheikh Mustafa, after divorce, what then? Advice for those brothers and sisters maybe who have gone through this. How should they then continue after the divorce?
So this can be looked at two ways. How do you handle a divorce? Because often it can cause a lot of emotional turmoil for the person. How do you handle the relationship with your ex? Because often that can cause a lot of issues and potentially people can oppress each other or harm each other. And finally, how do you move on and learn from those lessons and try and perhaps go again and find another spouse and maybe not repeat those mistakes that happened? So there's several ways to look at it. I'm not sure, Samir, if you have anything particular in mind. We try and cover generally, inshallah ta'ala. So first of all, if you do end up in a divorce, this is for both of my sisters and my brothers, this is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that it happened, we always accept the decree of Allah. And one of the benefits of doing a measured divorce according to the sunnah is that there is usually a scope for reconciliation. If you do one divorce, there's scope to reconcile, to remedy, to look into the situation, right? If you on your second, same thing. But if you're on the last one, then it's over, of course. Until, of course, she marries someone else willingly, and then maybe one day you'll meet each other again. But generally speaking, you have to keep that in mind. So follow the sunnah. That way, there could be room for reconciliation. And sometimes time apart can help you give yourself perspective as well. A lot of people, they will go through a divorce thinking it's better for them, and they will struggle with loneliness. They will struggle with the fact that they don't have a home to go back to. And now, all of a sudden, all the things that they felt were big problems, wallahi, I was exaggerating. It wasn't that big of a problem. So please, if you're in that situation, understand it's the qadr of Allah. Have sabr. See if there's room for reconciliation. Get better perspective and come back, inshallah ta'ala, together with renewed intentions, if it's possible and there is room. If that's not the case, and this was the final divorce, my sisters and my brothers, remember, no amount of dunya problems should cause you so much emotional turmoil to the point where you cannot live anymore or you cannot function anymore. We have to be measured people. And attachment to people should be at a certain level. Just not too long ago, there was a young man that came to me. He's not even married. He's ages, 23, 24, and he's pursuing a sister in the hope of marriage. I think they were speaking very short time, and he was saying, "If it's Sheikh, what am I going to do if it doesn't work out? What am I going to do if it doesn't work out?" And he was very distressed. I was like, "Shuaya, you know, calm down." And I told him, "What's the worst thing that can happen? That she marries someone else." I was like, "What will happen to you? You're going to be okay." And I told him, "Akhi, say after me that you're going to be okay," because we attach ourselves sometimes too much. And there is a hadith of the Prophet where he says, if you're going to love someone, love him in a measured way. One day you may dislike that person, and vice versa as well. Controlled attachment is better than one where you believe my relationship is over, my life is over. Wallahi, my sister, your life is not over. Many people went through divorces and then ended up getting married to someone and continued having children, having a life. Brothers, the same thing goes for you as well. And if this is the end of this particular relationship, you have a better relationship, a stronger relationship that will never end with your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have relationships with your siblings and your families that are always with you. The marriage is a good relationship. While it's there, make sure it is the best one possible. If it ends, have sabr, hafsawar and understand that. Wallahi, sometimes we become too attached to each other and it causes us way too many psychological and emotional distress. So please be measured in this regard. Accept the qadr of Allah. And finally, do not oppress each other. Do not oppress your ex. My sisters, I have heard too many stories, and maybe the Sheikh can do a ta'liq on this. Too many stories where the wife, the ex-wife, is refusing to show her children to her husband. He's trying to say, can I spend time with my children? No, we're busy, we're traveling. And she's making it difficult. This is not from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same thing with the brothers. Sometimes she may need support with the children. You're still the children's father, abandoning them and khalas, saying delete. That's it, I have nothing to do with them anymore. I'm gonna start new. It's not from the deen. Your children have huquq on you, and that person that you had love and mawadda and rahmah between each other at one point, and through reasons, now you're not together anymore, she still deserves some rahmah. And remember the good that was between you. وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ It's important to remember that as well. That's just a general summary of a post-divorce and what can happen and what should be done. And Allah knows best.
Barakallah feek, Sheikh Mustafa. Still with you, Sheikh Mustafa. Why is it important for couples, and I think Sheikh Hafidullah touched upon this in the beginning, why is it important for couples to have these shared values? You know, how can they make sure that they align their values in order to strengthen their marriage?
One of the biggest causes of divorce is the husband and wife not aligning on their vision for their life, for their deen, for their children. How are we going to raise our children? What is right and what is wrong, their morals and values. If they are not aligned, it's one of the greatest causes of divorce globally. This is very important to understand. So it's important that you're both in line with the usul of hayat, with the foundations of life. And also, more importantly for us, the biggest foundation is our deen. And how can I make sure that's the case? My sister and my brother, before you get married, hammer these things out. When you're talking, you're asking each other things that are not important. You can find out, what's your favorite type of dessert? You don't need to know that at the moment, you know, or what flower do you like, or what's your favorite color? And we finish a lot of the kalam fadi like that. And then before you know it, you get married and you disagree on fundamentals. I remember one brother saying, I want to do hijrah in the next 4 years, for example. That's his view. And she says, I'm never leaving here. What are you talking about? I'm never leaving here. And now they're married. That's a fundamental issue, isn't it? Probably should have discussed that before, right? The brother believes that his wife should dress a certain way. She doesn't hold that view. Then they get married, it causes problems. Maybe he wants to, he has a certain lifestyle in mind, and she has a different lifestyle in mind. All of these things that can cause friction, make sure that you speak about them before, so that when you're getting married, you're marrying someone that you guys are on the same page. When you're on the same page, the most problems you will face are things that can be solved. Things that can be solved. You know, he comes late or he doesn't take enough vacations. These things we can solve, inshallah ta'ala. But when you come to us with problems that are foundational, ya Sheikh, we disagree on what's right and what's wrong. How are we going to solve that? How are you going to solve that? This is why the remedy to this is, before you get married, make sure that you have shared and common goals and foundations. Let's say, alhamdulillah, you got married and there are differences in these things. Then it is important that with rahmah, with hikmah, with wisdom, with sabr, you slowly try and get towards the same vision. And if you guys are completely different, then most of the time, that home will struggle. That home will struggle, and that will pass on to the children, and the children will realize that their mother and father are not in line with each other, which causes conflict with them as well. And before you know it, the whole house becomes kharaban and problematic. And this is not what we want, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah keep our homes steady, strong, and people that are aligned with their visions. And Allah knows best.
Barakallahu feek, Sheikh Mustafa. Sheikh Hafidhullah Khan, any advice you would give to our young brothers who are looking to get married, inshallah ta'ala? And sisters, sorry. Brothers and sisters.
This is advice not from myself. That's the advice that the Islam gives us. the criteria for choosing a wife or husband, then we can make a successful marriage life. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِذَا أَتَاكُم مَّن تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ إِلَّا تَكُن فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيضٌ. When you are looking for yourself, the sisters, or for your daughter, for your sister, and if any proposal comes to you, and you are happy with his deen and with his akhlaq, deen and akhlaq. Deen means that, yes, deen is, mashallah, include the akhlaq, but Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned especially the akhlaq. It means that you can see that there are lots of people, mashallah, they always attend in the first row of the salah, in the jama'ah, but they don't have any akhlaq. So you have to be careful, you have to be convinced with his deen and with his akhlaq, inshallah. So then don't refuse it, don't refuse it. Imam Hassan al-Basri says, if you marry your daughter or your sister to the person who have fear of Allah, so if he likes her, then inshallah he will make her happy. He will give her her rights. If he doesn't like her, he is not going to oppress her. So always we have to look for our sister, for ourselves, the person who has deen and akhlaq. And likewise, the Prophet says about when you are going to choose for yourself the wife or for any other person, for your son, for your brother, the Prophet says that yani al-mar'atu, yani the woman, always the people marry her on because of four things. تنكح المرأة لأربع لمالها ولزوجها ولحسبها ولدينها. That they look first, or you can say that they look how rich she is or how beautiful she is, and they look her lineage, the family status, and they look at her deen as well. فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, choose the one who is pious, the pious. Like if she is pious, if the husband is pious, if the wife is pious, if they have fear of Allah, it is not possible that they leave their children by go wrong. They will be for each other a means of tranquility, a means of love, because they know their responsibilities towards each other. They have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So always remember, yes, it is not, yani we are not saying that deen that doesn't say that you don't have to choose the beautiful. Yes, mashallah, that's good. If she is beautiful, if she is, mashallah, from a, subhanallah, a high family, or from, and mashallah, she has lots of, yani, she is a rich person, it's good, yes. But you have to prefer, you have to give priority to the woman who she is pious and righteous, inshallah. That's the main thing that we have to always prefer, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair, barakallah fikum, Shaykhana. Shaykh Mustafa, any final remarks, inshallah ta'ala, or advice? Jazakallah khair.
My brothers and sisters, marriage is an ibadah, and we often forget that. Marriage is an act of worship. It is, of course, yes, it's a relationship. It is a love between a man and a woman. It is a starting and a building of a home. But first and foremost, it is an act of worship. And as any act of worship, it comes with certain obligations. It comes with certain sunnah acts that if you do, it beautifies it. It increases the reward. It increases the barakah. Try to the best of your ability to make your marriage as close to the marriage of the Prophet ﷺ as possible. Follow his sunnah in how he treated his wives. My sisters, follow the way of the sahabiyat and the noble women and how they treated their husbands. Make sure that you follow what you've heard from the Quran, tranquility, mercy, lots of rahmah and mercy. And I want you to keep this in mind. The more mercy you show each other, the more mercy Allah shows you. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الرحمون يرحمهم الرحمن ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. Those who show mercy to each other, the most merciful showers them and shows them rahmah. So show rahmah to the people on the earth. Number one is your wife and your husband. Show each other rahmah. Overlook the shortcomings. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you see shortcomings and problems, there is something that they are not good at, but there will be something else that they please you with. So understand this as well. We are not perfect. My sisters, the men, they have many flaws. They are not perfect. My brothers, our women folk, they have many flaws. They are not perfect. But we have each other, and that's all we have. So let's have sabr with each other, and let's inject our homes with a lot of rahmah, with a lot of love, with a lot of sunnah, with a lot of dua, lots of dua. Make dua for your spouse, make dua for your husband, make dua for your wife. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. Right? Make lots of dua for each other, inshallah ta'ala. And I ask Allah to bless our homes. Apply the sunnah, not just in your salah. Apply the sunnah in every single aspect of your life. That includes your marriage as well. And I'll conclude here, inshallah ta'ala, هذا.
Jazakumullah khair to both our mashayikh, and jazakumullah khair to you as our brothers and sisters for attending. I think we have a little bit of time, inshallah ta'ala, before our uncle makes the adhan. So if any brothers have any questions, inshallah, we can take one or two, inshallah ta'ala. Tawbarak. The brother, those of you who didn't hear, is asking about the importance of lowering the gaze in order to safeguard this relationship between a husband and wife.
So, lowering the gaze is an obligation upon the men and the women. Like Allah commands the men to lower their gaze. قُلْ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ. And Allah says, and tell the men that they've been commanded to lower their gaze and to safeguard their privates. And then Allah says, ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. That is more pure for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will purify you through you lowering your gaze. There is barakah and khair in doing so. And when you do not lower your gaze and you look at the opposite gender in ways that you're not allowed to do outside, on the online, anywhere, it damages your heart first and foremost. It is among the siham of the shaitan. It is the arrows of the devil. It will ruin you, your ibadah, your connection to Allah. It will corrupt you. And when it corrupts you, it will also corrupt your marriage. And you will start comparing what Allah gave you at home to what is outside that has no, you have no right to be looking at. And this will have an impact on your marriage. My brothers, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My sisters, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the command is for both men and women, but particularly the brothers. This is a big fitna. The whole point of you getting married was to avoid fitna. The whole point why you spend the dowry and that wedding and all of that was for you to avoid fitna. Why are you jumping into the fire again? Why are you ruining your heart? Why are you corrupting your heart? Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And perhaps the reason why Allah removed the barakah of our homes and our relationships is because we keep doing things like this. So not only are you sinful for doing it, not only are you corrupting your heart for doing it, not only are you not being purified when doing it, you're also ruining your relationship and your marriage. So all I can say is, my brothers, fear Allah in this regard, and Allah knows the best.
Jazakallah khair. Barakallah fiqh. Very good question. It triggered another question. I'm going to put you guys on the spot here. The issue of social media and the impact that social media has, you know, in a couple, where one of them, for example, is following a certain couple, and they see, of course, only see the beautiful side of their relationship, even though we know it's all fake. So they show off this type of ideal lifestyle of travel and food and expensive clothes and gifts. Now, that has now an impact on this, you know, a Muslim or any family, you know, trying to correct their way in terms of their marriage.
I will let the Sheikh add some words, but I just wanted to say something that is very important as it relates to social media. There's absolutely no doubt that is causing a huge strain, at the very least, on our relationship, if not causing them to get destroyed outright. Because comparison is the destroyer of joy, constantly comparing yourself to others. And what you're comparing yourself with is not even real. It's not real. You'll go on social media, I'm sure you've all seen this. There's a couple, they're making food, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. And then the wife is looking at this, why don't you do this for me? Right? And the husband may see something, why don't you do this? And you're constantly comparing your spouse to people. And the sad thing is, they're actors. This is an act, right? Sometimes you see these reels. I'm sure you've seen it, someone. And then you see them, they wake up. Yeah, you woke up, you got dressed, you set the camera up, you went back to bed, and now you're pretending to wake up at this time. But we sometimes shut our brains off, and we are comparing these little things. You know, this is the food that's being cooked in this home. Why are you not cooking food like this? This is the type of desserts that are being made. Why are you not doing this? The sisters are saying, this sister went to holiday 4 or 5 times. You haven't taken me out of the country for the last 5 years. This is causing a lot of strain in our relationships. So what's the advice? Stop following other couples and people online that you have no business following. They are not teaching you anything new. You're not benefiting from them. And you may say, yeah, Sheikh, it's just entertainment. No, it's not. It's causing you harm. And also, for those of you that are putting yourself online, be afraid of hasad. If what you're putting out there is genuine, people will put the evil eye on you. No need to put the good that Allah has given you for the whole world to see. In other words, social media is causing a lot of problems. Those of us that are viewing it, we are constantly belittling what we have. Those homes look bigger than our homes. Those food looks much more tastier than our food. And now, all of a sudden, we don't appreciate anything anymore. No wonder we're constantly fighting and not smiling. You don't appreciate anything anymore. And this, how do you avoid this? Delete and stop following those type of accounts, number one. Number two, stop appreciating what the person is doing that is next to you. When you're constantly on the phone, you don't see what you have at home. Maybe less screen time is a good advice for all of us as well. My sisters, do not compare your husband with what you see online. My brothers, do not compare your wife with what you see online. Often it is fake. Often they are actors. And even if they weren't fake and they weren't actors, what business do you have comparing someone to someone else? Say alhamdulillah what Allah has given you and be grateful. What does Allah say? لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you're grateful, I will increase for you. And I'll conclude here. لَعَلَّ الشَّيْخِ يُرِيدْ إِنْ يَزِيدْ. The Sheikh has an ayah that he wants to share.
Barakallahu feekum. Again, Jazakumullah khair, Mashayikh. We will conclude that, inshallah ta'ala, because our uncle is waiting to make the adhan. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu